Okay. So when we talk about the third Beis HaMikdash, the third Beit HaMikdash, so we have a lot of questions, and I've had some interesting questions in terms of how are we all going to be Ola Regel, right? How are we all going to go up to the Beis HaMikdash and celebrate Sukkot, Shavuos, Pesach, albeit not, there are a lot of exceptions for people, for different groups of people in terms of going to be Ola Regel, and yet it'll definitely be reinstituted. And that means thousands and tens of thousands of people coming up to Yerushalayim. Where are they all going to stay? What's going to happen? Another question, are we going to have cell phones in the Beis HaMikdash to record karbanot as they're brought? They're just fascinating questions that come up when we combine, when we reinstitute something of yore, namely the temple and sacrifices, which we'll get to later, with the modern age. And how do those two things come together? We start with, how will the Beit HaMikdash be built? So, we know that the first two Beit HaMikdash, they were built. We had help from other people outside the Jewish community as well. So what about the third temple? So this is a very famous discussion. You'll find lots of classes on it, lots of sources online, different discussions. So we're just going to do the basics of it. We start with the Rambam. Maimonides Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim that Hamelach HaMashiach, that the Messiah Mashiach Asid La'amon La'achzir Malchus David Liyashna, will reestablish the monarchy of David, the Davidic monarchy, to its grandeur of old, the Mamshala Harishona. Uvona Mikdash Mekabet Simchei Yisrael, etc., etc. He goes on a lot further. For our purposes, the Rambam clearly says Uvona Mikdash, that the Mashiach will help to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's clearly a human act, that the Jewish people, we are, as led by Mashiach, going to actually construct the third Beis HaMikdash. We go to another passage in the Rambam, and he's discussing how do you know if a individual will be the Mashiach, can be the Mashiach, what are the requirements, what are the accomplishments that he has to do. I'll just skip to the middle. He says, Im asav etzliach uvana mikdash bimkomo, v'kibitzen chayisir, how is that Mashiach b'vadai? How do you know that it's certainly Mashiach? He'll be successful in building the Beis HaMikdash. So it's clearly stated in the Rambam that he's of the opinion that we will build the Beis HaMikdash. And you'll say, obviously, we're going to construct it. Who else is going to construct it? So, we have a famous second approach as to how the Beis HaMikdash will come to be. And it is Rashi. And also, these approaches have former, earlier sources as well, in the Yerushalmi and in Midrashim, Zohar. So, we're saying the Rambam and Rashi, they are the ones that are adopting these two main views. Before we get to Rashi, we have a Gemara in Bava Kama. And yes, it's an Agadata Gemara, but let's just see what it says. Ani Atzisi Yesh B'Tzion. God says, I lit a fire in Tzion. Shenemar, as it says in Echa. V'yotzisi Yesh B'Tzion V'tochal Yisodoseha. So, God brought about the destruction of the of the Beis HaMikdash, as stated in Eicha, says God, Hashem, V'ani Yatzid Livnosa Ba'ish, but I will also rebuild it. The third Beis HaMikdash will also be built with fire. However one understands that, clearly it's somewhat agadic. Based on the pasuk in Zechariah, Shenemar, V'ani Eya L'chomas Eish Saviv V'lechvod Eya B'socha. I will be for her a wall of fire, and I'll be the glory in her midst. So here we have a source from a Gemara that the third Beis HaMikdash will be built in fire by God. However we understand that to be. Yet it's clearly different than the Rambam, seemingly. Rashi on Yirmiyah, who says, where the pasuk says, Od avnech v'divnes, the pasuk's describing a future prophecy of God building up Jerusalem, and he says that I will surely build the avnech, I, God, will build the future Beis HaMikdash, says Rashi, Binyanim shnayim hayulach al yidei Adam lekach charvo. Amazing statement. Rashi says that the first two batei mikdash were created by human hands, and therefore they were destroyed. Again, not there were specific sins that led to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, but on some level, we're saying that, the Jewish people tried to build their own Beis HaMikdash twice and failed. Od evneich, ani ba'atzmi binyan shlishi v'nevneis le'olam tadi tiskashti. God says, based on Rashi, ani ba'atzmi binyan shlishi, I will build the third Beis HaMikdash, and it will stand forever. So here you see, again, God saying that he'll build the Beis HaMikdash. One last Rashi, and there's actually, it's basically the same Rashi in Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah, so we just brought you one. It's based on a Gemara that we won't go into right now, as it's a little tangential. For our needs, we go to the very bottom of Rashi. He's discussing when the Beis HaMikdash can be built, at night, on Yom Tov. Sort of like a technical discussion, but then he finishes off by saying, Aval binyan ha'asid, lavo bidei shemayim hu. The Beis HaMikdash that will be built in the future, the third Beis HaMikdash, will be done through the hands of heaven. So here you see Rashi, a couple of Rashis, and a Gemara. And like I said, I think there's a Zohar also, Yerushalmi's, Tosos quotes this Rashi. So there is this idea that the Beis HaMikdash will be, made in a fire, and it's in heaven, and then God, Hashem, will bring it down to us. And then we clearly have the Rambam saying, no, we're going to, how else does a building a house get built in this world? We have to build it. So, we have a conflict. And there are several approaches. The first two of which I don't like as much as the third. And actually, the third approach has actually two sub-approaches within that third approach, which I find very interesting. But let's just do the first two approaches. By the way, this is interactive, Jane. If you have any comments, if you'd like to offer a suggestion as to the seeming contradiction here, please feel free to do so.
Okay.
So, how will the third Beis HaMikdash be built? We have this machlokes. So, the first approach to answer to solve the contradiction, if we want to indeed solve it, you could say, oh, well, we'll just wait and see. Mashiach will come, and we'll wait and see, how the Beis HaMikdash is built. Will it come down in fire from heaven, whatever that means, or will he lead us in building it, and then we'll know the answer. What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought I heard. Okay. So, the first approach is to say, based on the Gemara that says that, how will Mashiach come? Mashiach himself will come either Be'ito or Achishena. Right? Either if we as the Jewish people merit to have the Mashiach come, speedily, you know, when it's supposed to come, so then great. So he's going to come. But what if we are not meritorious of having the Mashiach come, then Achishena, and then we'll have to hope for it and yearn for it, and you know, God will just, you know, send him. So it's the same kind of thing to solve this contradiction. Maybe that according to Rashi, that's the lechadchila. That's the ideal. That God will send down the Beis HaMikdash from heaven. That's an amazing thing, an amazing gift. And that'll be if we are worthy of it. Again, we don't have a scorecard to know if we'll merit it or not. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess. But that's Rashi. Rambam is saying, no, if the Jewish people are unworthy of having God send the third Beis HaMikdash down, okay, then at a certain point, Mashiach will come and he'll tell us, listen, you know, we're going to have to build it ourselves, and that's it. So they're each describing a different scenario. The ideal and then the less ideal. Okay, again, that's, I think that was from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, his idea. So that's, you know, that's something to think about. The second approach is to say, we will start to build it on our own. Mashiach will show us, you know, which parts to build. And parenthetically, you know, they have the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, and they already have a lot of the articles that there are replicas of the vessels for the third Beis HaMikdash, so they already have that. But Mashiach will show us in more detail what to do. But then we will need God to help us complete the project. This is a little bit different. This is saying, not that there's two different scenarios, but that it's going to be one scenario. We're going to start the process, but God will, when Rashi says that God will build the third Beis HaMikdash, it means that God will polish it off, so to speak. That we obviously have to provide the raw materials, and we have to do it, and then God will miraculously, you know, finish it off for us. So it's a two-part job. And Rashi and Rambam are each talking about two different parts of the job. Okay, and, you know, these two approaches are interesting, but let's see the third approach. And there's actually two parts, two inversions of it. There's 3A and 3B. So approach 3A, and this is quoted in the Ema Banim Smicha, as well as the Arach Laner, and other sources as well. And it basically goes like this. We need to build the Beis HaMikdash physically with our own hands, and then God will fill it with his presence. In that, Rambam's discussing the physical building of the Beis HaMikdash with all the different vessels, all the different components, the gold, the silver, the linens, etc., etc., all the physical stuff. We will have to provide that. And we're basically going to have the whole thing done. But what's to differentiate that from being a nice, fancy building to be the Beis HaMikdash that's talked about in the Torah and the Nevi'im? We need God's presence. We need the Shekhinah. We need God to send down, so to speak, the Mikdash and fire. And maybe that's more figurative. the fire representing God's, you know, intense presence that will be part of the Beis HaMikdash. And you can even imagine, if you want to be a tad more literal, you could say that it's like a Beis HaMikdash replica in fire, which will, just like we say that, you know, sometimes the karbanot that we put on the Mizbeach, God actually sent down the fire, and then that, and then we lit the fire, and then that's how the fire got started, but it came from God. So to hear God will send down a replica of the Beis HaMikdash in fire, overlaying the physical Beis HaMikdash that we built, not burning it, but actually fits well with the pasuk we saw earlier, that it'll start with, it was burned down, God burned it down with fire, and now God's building with fire, right? The fire's going to come down, but it's actually going to, so to speak, complete the process. And so that's the that's approach 3A. Small question is, does this approach fit with the Rashi and Yirmiyahu? Yirmiyahu, Rashi says that the first two Beis HaMikdash seem to say that since they were built by human hands, then they were not infused with the Shekhinah. Or because they were built with human hands, that's why they ultimately fell, but this one will last forever because God is building it. According to this approach, we're saying that God's going to send his presence in. God's presence wasn't in the first two? Like, what's different about this one, right? You could say the first two also were built by human hands, and then God provided the, you know, that finishing touch, the Shekhinah. But why would this one be any different than that? Rashi seems to say that the third one will be different than the first two. According to this approach, why would it be any different? Okay. Approach 3B is actually the inverse of 3A. And it goes like this. This is more of a spiritual, conceptual kind of idea. You know, again, with Rambam, we're talking about like, okay, who are our best architects? Who are our best builders? Who are our craftsmen or artisans? Let's build this beautiful building in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and let's, you know, very focused on the physical. But we also have to keep in mind the spiritual. So this approach, and this is from the Ramchal and Rav Moshe Cordovero, more of a Kabbalistic, mystical interpretation, is that the heavenly Beis HaMikdash, the heavenly temple, is not a building, obviously. It's a spiritual home. And it's built with our positive actions, our acts of kindness, our mitzvot, our Torah learning, our prayers, our yearning for the Mashiach. All of these spiritual ideas is what builds the third Beis HaMikdash. Once that is built, then we can, Mashiach will let us know, okay, now we build the physical Beis HaMikdash. But the reason that this is different than 3A is because it's the inverse. 3A said, Rambam, build Beis HaMikdash, then God will polish it off, infuse it with his fiery temple in heaven. Approach 3B is the opposite. It's saying that in order to bring the Mashiach, in order to bring the physical third Beis HaMikdash, we first have to contribute our positive actions as a collective Jewish people, and then God will, once that's built in heaven, then it's almost like, okay, just, you know, you need to actually build a earthly home, but the heavenly abode is already created. So, similar, but it's the inverse of 3A. Okay, so that's in terms of how it will be built. And again, you can look online and see there is more discussion, more ideas about this. But that's the basic rundown. Now, what about karbanot in the third Beis HaMikdash? Will there be karbanot? Well, if you assume that it's a real Beis HaMikdash, just like the first two, then of course there'll be karbanos. Just look at half of Mishnayos are all talking about, you know, how do you bring this carbon or that carbon, or how is the Beis Hamikdash, how is the Avoda done on Yom Kippur? You know, obviously, many Parshios in the Torah talking about Karbanos. So obviously, if you're going to have a third Beis Hamikdash, obviously you're going to have Karbanos, right? So that's the, you know, I guess you would say 95% agreed upon. What about this? There's like, you could say a 5% understanding or misconception, I guess, about the Rambam and Rav Kook. The Rambam and Rav Kook, what's the misconception? The misconception is that both of them do not believe that there will actually be a return of animal sacrifices. Obviously, Karbanos not being part of our lexicon for a couple thousand years, to bring that back will be jarring to many. But besides for that, let's start with the Rambam. So the Rambam famously holds that the reason that we have Karbanos, the reason that God commanded us in all these detailed laws about bringing sacrifices, is to wean us, the Jewish people, off of the idea of bringing Karbanos as the pagan nations did in the Midbar, right? In the desert, pagan nations, they were bringing sacrifices to their gods, and Hashem said, you know, the Jewish people are seeing that, and it's such a common idea in the air to bring sacrifices. If I want the Jewish people to become, you know, monotheistic and to follow me, so let's have them a whole system of Karbanos, and let's have it done in a Mishkan, and, you know, just to God. So you could say it was co-opted from the other nations and what was going on in that time. Now, Ramban, Nachmanides says, no, what are you talking about? You know, that would say that the Karbanos are predicated on a specific, you know, time, that God's reacting just to the age and the time. And what about the fact that Cain and Hevel and our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, also brought sacrifices? So Ramban says, no, sacrifices themselves bring a person closer to God. You imagine that you yourself, you know, or perhaps should be in the stead of the carbon, or the amount of money it costs to buy the carbon, and then you're sacrificing it to God, is also part of the kapara, is also part of how you get close to God, or just the fact that, you know, you bring a carbon shlamim, right, a sacrifice that you are going to enjoy with your friends for a happy occasion, not a sin offering. So that celebration is also, you're recognizing God in that as well. Just going back to the Rambam's position, though, if you say that it was only, let's say, for that time period, so nowadays that we have replaced sacrificial, you know, service with prayer, with davening, so then maybe we won't, quote-unquote, need Karbanos in the third Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it will suffice with our davening. Now, what would be ironic, though, is that in our davening, like on the Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, if we didn't have Karbanos, we'd be saying, you know, we wish that we could bring all of these sacrifices, and we'd be doing that, you know, while our Beis HaMikdash stands at the ready to offer sacrifices. So, indeed, Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky, where I got these sources from, for this specific topic, he quotes, no, that the Rambam other places says that, of course, we will have Karbanos in the future. So, despite the fact that the Rambam says what he says about where Karbanos come from, but it's a misconception to think that he holds that they'll be discontinued. in Rav Kook, they say that he's when he comments on the Siddur at the end of Shemona Esrei, the Yehi Ratzon, Shemona Beis Hamikdash Marina was saying Minchas Yudav Yerushalayim, that in the future God will bring the third Beis Hamikdash and we will be able to bring the Mincha. What is a Mincha? So Rav Kook says that Mincha is that where all the Karbanos will be of Mincha in the future. In the third Beis Hamikdash, we'll have Karbanot that are Mincha. Now, what's Mincha? Now, Karban Mincha is a flower offering. So perhaps you can understand that, according to Rav Kook, who also, I guess, related but a little bit different, holds that perhaps the ideal world is one of vegetarianism. That's for a separate topic, but perhaps one can, you know, connect these two, to say that according to Rav Kook, we won't have actual sacrifices. All the karbanot will be of mincha. However, the question is, what does mincha mean? And Rav Zivotofsky quotes that there are sources that say that, yes, mincha could mean flower offering, but also a mincha could just mean a regular, any kind of carbon, even an animal sacrifice as well. And so, you know, even Rav Kook would probably not be saying that there will not be a return to carbon, to animal sacrifices in the next Beis HaMikdash. Assuming that there are animal sacrifices, karbanot, there's a fascinating comment by the Sefer HaManhig, which is also quoted, I saw from the Bnei Yisaskar and the Ben Ish Chai and the Tiferes Shlomo, about making up missed karbanos. Because if you think, well, you know, we're supposed to offer karbanos every day, right? The tamid in the morning, the tamid in the afternoon, and every Rosh Chodesh, we're supposed to offer all of these karbanot, and we haven't done so in thousands of years. So maybe there's a backlog, and maybe we're going to have to make up for all of the missed karbanot. So is that really something that's going to happen? So yes, if Armanic says yes, we're actually in the third Beis HaMikdash, we're going to, you know, just bring a lot of karbanos at the very beginning to make up for all the karbanos that we missed up until now. Where are we going to get all these animals from? So, look at this pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, "Akol tzon kedar yikav tzulach, elei nevayot yishar sunach, yalu ha'al ratzon mizbechi yaves tefarti afa er." That all the sheep, all the flocks of Kedar will be assembled for you. Again, this is talking about in the future times when we have Mashiach in the temple. The rams of Nevot will serve your needs. They will become welcome offerings on my altar, and I will add glory to my glorious house. Says these commentaries, what do you see from this pasuk? That literally, we're going to find a lot of animals to make up for all these karbanos that we missed based on this pasuk. So, you know, the idea that we will have animal sacrifices is certainly implied in this understanding. And like I said before, you know, are we gonna? I'm sure a lot of people around the world are gonna want to see. You know, even if you can't make it to Jerusalem on a given day, you're going to want to see what are bringing the karbanos? What's it all about, right? It's so fascinating, and we're going to actually be able to see it with our own eyes. That'll be something very interesting. Let's just finish up with one last little message from the Kedusha Levi, Reb Levi Yitzhak of Bardichev, who says, and I guess call this a Hasidish, Kabbalistic kind of idea, that our souls, our neshamot, are shown the third Beis HaMikdash on Shabbat Chazon, on Shabbos Chazon, when we, the Shabbos right before Tisha B'Av, we read Chazon Yeshayahu, the vision of Yeshaya, where the Beis HaMikdash will, unfortunately, was destroyed, the prophecy foretelling of the destruction, the, I guess, Kedush HaSlevi way of seeing this is to say that, yes, Shabbat Chazon means that Tisha B'Av is right around the corner, and Tisha B'Av is definitely a day of mourning. But we know that on Shabbos we don't mourn. Or, you know, if you're in Shiva, you don't mourn publicly. It's different. So our souls are shown what the Beis HaMikdash will look like in the future, every Shabbat Chazon. And so the idea is of one of hope, that despite it being so close to every year's Tisha B'Av, we actually get a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. And the idea is that, yes, we mourn the first Beis HaMikdash, we mourn the second Beis HaMikdash, we mourn the reasons why they were destroyed. And as we know, the famous teaching that, you know, if we're not involved in rebuilding it, then are we any better than the generations that, so to speak, lost the third Beis HaMikdash, the first two Batei Mikdash. And it hasn't been rebuilt yet, but God willing, it should be rebuilt speedily in our days. Again, the idea of hope, if our souls can visualize the third Beis HaMikdash, that'll inspire us to want to bring it. So just to summarize, the idea that there's the physical building of the third Beis HaMikdash, the third temple, there's also the spiritual side of it. And we can't lose sight of that fact as well. That besides for the day-to-day things that we will see happening in the Beis HaMikdash, there's still going to be mitzvot. There's still going to be Torah learning. There's still going to be davening. There's still going to be acts of kindness that we can do from one another. There's still going to be other ritual laws that we will keep. So the spiritual side of our Judaism won't die off when the third Beis HaMikdash comes about. And like we saw, even to bring the third Beis HaMikdash are dependent on these very actions. And so, God willing, this will be the last Tisha B'Av, or we won't even have to have it, and we will have the third Beis HaMikdash built speedily in our times, whether it's coming from our own hands or whether it's coming from God. We will merit to bring the Karbanot for all the holidays, and I thank you for listening. Thank you very much. All right.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Amen.
Amen, amen.